Jeremiah 3 and then have it ready, and then I'll make a comment or two before I read the scripture. While you're turning, Sister Zelma called yesterday. She lives in the Bronx. She's a person that used to attend our church. In fact, she got a lot of young people from her area to come to the services, and one of the girls that came as a youngster, real small, is now in college. I was telling Sister Zelma about her last night, and she said to tell the folks hello for me and then have the church to pray. She's going to be having surgery soon, and she asked me to pray. Then I wanted to mention something, and before I read the scripture, in the mid-40s, fast-pitch softball became very popular in America, especially in Virginia. And in Fox Hill, where I was raised, they just went all out. Play softball, fast-pitch softball. In fact, everyone that was a teenager or older, they put on a team. Had a league just Fox Hill. No outsiders allowed. So they had my daddy's name on one of the teams. My daddy was a barber, and a lot of things he could not do with us boys, because if he messed up a hand or a finger or something, it would affect his livelihood. And so a lot of times he did not participate in things, although he was in his 30s and early 40s. He was in his early 40s when I graduated from high school. But I remember one time he came to the ballpark, Fox Hill, Francis Asbury Ballpark, which was probably the nicest in the state of Virginia. And it so happened that the team that they put his name on was playing that night, and they said, "Robert Jones, why don't you pinch hit?" And so he decided, if I'm not going to play in the field, maybe it wouldn't hurt me to pinch hit. And so he came to bat, and before they pitched the first pitch, he said, "I'll need a pinch runner." I'm pinch hitting, Brother Derek. If there's any running, I'll need a pinch runner. Unless the Holy Ghost gets a hold of all of us, and it won't make any difference. Turn with me, if you will, to that first chapter of Joshua. Over the years in Sunday school classes and recently, learned of the covenant that God made with Abraham, promising him that he would be a blessing to the nations of the world, and God would give the land of Canaan to the people of Israel. Later he gave that covenant to Isaac and to Jacob, and then to Moses at the burning bush on Mount Horeb, and later on, just before Moses died again on Mount Horeb, God wanted his people to know that if they would serve him, if they would love him, if they would live for him, that they would have a good life. They would be blessed abundantly. I would like to say this as I begin the sermon today. That still stands true this morning. If you love the Lord and serve the Lord, your life will be blessed abundantly. No doubt if most everyone here can say amen to that. God has blessed you as you've served the Lord. If God has blessed you since you've been saved, raise your hand. To Him, not to me. Just raise your hand. Isn't God good? Hallelujah, hallelujah.
God, you'll be poor. I want you to know that this verse of scripture
could tell you that when God came on the scene, when the Lord told this to Joshua and told him how that he would bless them for Israel, it was a new day. It was a new day on the horizon. At that very moment, they had arrived at the borders of the promised land. Right over there was the land that had been promised to Abraham. God had not promised them that victory. God had also promised great victories. And I want you to mark this down today. Not only had God promised great victory, He promised total victory. You know what total victory means? Never defeated. Can a Christian live in total victory? Jesus said we can. Devil never have the upper hand if you serve the Lord. Not only great victories, but we can live with total victory in our hearts and in our lives. They went, Jesus went on to let them to know after telling them that they serve Him, how that they would be blessed. I wish I could tell you that they served the Lord, that they went on with God, that they obeyed God. But that would not be true because the Bible said they rejected Him. They forsook Him. They went their own ways. They did their own thing, just like so many today are doing in the professing church around the world. They want the blessings of yesteryear. They want the revivals of a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. But they are not willing to live the life of those that lived in yesteryear. Let me share this with you today. If we'll pay the price today, we can have the revivals of yesterday. God is no respecter of persons. And He loves a bundle like Tabernacle today as much as He loved any camp meeting sitting 40 years ago. He's a big God. Of the people, where they were going and how they were going. He called Jeremiah to the ministry and sent him to preach to the nation of Israel, this chosen people. He wanted them to know that He loved them. He cared for them. He saw what they were doing and how they were going. And He wanted them to remember and come back. Come back. Jeremiah called them backsliding Israel. I thought, what a reproach for anyone to say a backsliding holy. A backsliding denomination of Pentecost. A backsliding individual that one time knew God. What a reproach. Jeremiah said to the nation of Israel, you've gone away. You're doing your own thing. You rejected God. You rebelled against the Word. But you want the touch of God. You want prosperity. You want success in your life, but you'll have to come my way. That's been God's way all the time. His way is the only way for success and victory in our lives, and may God help us along that line. Turn with me, if you've got your Bibles open in the third chapter of Jeremiah. Turn with me, if you will, to the 21st verse. The reason the people had gone their rounds and were doing their thing, serving themselves. Look at that 21st verse, the part that says, they had forgotten the Lord their God. Let me say that again. They had turned to doing their own thing. God was no longer in their mind. They had forgotten the Lord their God. Those seven words tell it all. Those seven words are a mouthful. And that's the thought that I want to preach about today in the sermon this Sunday morning. People had forgotten God. Whether they've been saved a year, 5 years, 50 years, whatever. The church maybe has been in existence for hundreds of years, but people have forgotten God. Oh, if the people of God would come back to God. I saw an article, I saw a sticker or something that said, the Catholic Church, come back home. Come back to the Catholic Church. So many have left the Catholic Church and they're begging. The Pope came to America just recently asking the people to come back to the Catholic Church. Come back home to the Catholic Church. I'm saying today, come back home to God. Oh, that all of us, every one of us, our family, our children, our grandchildren will come back home to God. Have the blessings of the Lord once again in our lives. Again, in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, turn there if you will. I'm going to read the 15th verse. God said, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient past, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. I want you to think about it for a moment. I'm not a judge today. I'm not here condemning anyone, not my family nor your family, but so many of America has gone a long way from God, and I believe God has his arms outstretched and says, come back home. Come back home. Come back home to me. If you'll only come back, he that is weary and heavy laden, it will only come to the Lord. Come home, God is saying today. I'm preaching today to your family and mine and to Abundant Life Tabernacle. Oh, God, somehow stir every one of our hearts. Oh, Holy Ghost revival. One more time in our lifetime. Hallelujah. The hymn that scripture in the 18th chapter, because my people have forgotten me. I would like to share some history, if I may, today. If you would like to take a note or two, I have preached and taught on this pulpit a long time, and I don't know when or ever, what tomorrow might bring in my life. I would like for you to go with me to a time when God said, if you're only searching my face, I'll bless you. But then he says over and over, but my people have forgotten. I wanted to bless them. I wanted to do something real. I wanted to meet a need. I wanted to heal. I wanted to give revival, but my people have forgotten it. God called Jeremiah to preach, to tell the people that he still loved them. That this was in their lot. What was going on in their lives was the faith. They're forgetting him. They trusted in falsehood. They trusted in all that was going on around about. And God said, this is the outcome of that. This is the pain of all of that. You have forgotten me and trusted false gods and believed the lie. I came to a place where I found that in the year 606 B.C., and those of you that have been in service with us over the years have heard me teach along this line, but if you would like to take another two, please do. In the year 606 B.C., God had his hand in it. God had the heathen nation of Babylon overrun God's own people, the Israeli nation. They came to the Jerusalem and to the brother king of Judah, overran Jerusalem, and took the host into captivity. Why did God allow it? Because the people had forgotten God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible tells me 4 years later, the prophet Jeremiah again tells the people, God has allowed those things to take place. God has allowed them to go into captivity because you've forgotten me. And now this is your fate. This is the outcome. Then again, the next year, according to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense that I just mentioned a moment ago. Because they have forgotten me, they turned their backs on me. They rejected my word, and now they are bowing down to idols, and they're worshiping even idols and men that represent abominable beasts and creeping things. My God, how low can people get? Listen closely. A man that leaves God can go down mighty low. Satan, the devil, will take you further than you ever thought you'd go. Bible. I'm going to
I'm going to send. There's going to be a war. And Iran is going to come against Israel. And Russia's going to come against Israel. And Syria's going to come against Israel. And Turkey's going to come against Israel. All of that is coming to be come to pass right now. Brother, we're living in the last days. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying it's no time to forget God. It's time to come back to God. It's time to call out to God this morning, this Sunday morning, in that year 596 B.C., 586 B.C., that third time when they came, all because they'd forgotten God. I've got some statements I want to make. Almighty God, He that created the heavens and the earth, He that made man in His own image, forgotten. He that scooped out the waters of the ocean and weighed the balances in His hands of the hills and mountains, hung the stars in place and listened closely, and He knows every one of them by name and exactly where they are. He's a big God, but forgotten. He who called Noah when the people were living in a sinful stage, an immoral stage, to build an ark for the saving of his family and for all that would believe. Forgotten. He that delivered the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, after 430 years of being strangers and pilgrims in foreign land. Forgotten. He who rolled back the waters of the Red Sea for the children to pass over, as we studied in the Bible study with Brother Derek just last week. Forgotten. He that made a way through the wilderness with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He that fed manna from heaven for the people to satisfy the hunger and gave water out of a flinty rock when they were thirsty. Had their clothes never to grow old nor wear out, and their shoes never to wear out. Brother, He was doing all and yet forgotten. Then He gave them the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And yet He was forgotten. The sad part today in the year 2015, there are so many like those in Jeremiah's day have strayed from the old paths, have outlined in the Scripture, have gone their own way, have done their own thing, decided that they would do as they please. There's a Scripture in the Bible that says, search out the old paths. I thought I had it jotted down, but I don't find it. Search out the old paths wherein have been proven to be good. And I believe God has been forgotten in so many ways that people have no longer searched out the old paths. We've got a new way now. We've got a new Pentecost, neo-Pentecostalism. We've got a new way to live. New way to be a Christian. A new way to serve God. A cheap religion. But God says, search out the old paths. They have been proven to be true. Come back to the old paths. I want to just paint a picture, if I may. It's like standing at the fork of the road. God said, take the path that's been proven to bring revival. Take the path that has been tried and tested, proven to be true. Take that path. And so many have come to the fork of the road and heard words and have seen things and have been enticed and taken the wrong path, and still in church, still going through the motions, still claiming to be Christians, still oftentimes raising their hand in worship with an empty heart, with an empty soul, with an empty life, going through the motions. I'm not talking just about abundant life at all, not at all. I'm talking about my family, your family, and the family of so many out there. How many going through the motions because they've forgotten God? Because they've forgotten God. He says, search out the old paths that has been proven true rather than live these empty lives. And the main reason God had Jeremiah to preach to His people such as He did, He wanted His people, the people that He loved, the people that He was going to give His Son for, that would die on Calvary, for the sins of the whole world. He wanted His people, and He wants us today to realize that we need to come back to the fellowship, come back to the relationship with God that we one time knew. Come back to that place where the joy bells were ringing in our hearts and in our lives. It's not a new message that we need. It's not a new doctrine that we need. It's not a new way of worship that we need. We need what the old generation had way back yonder. We need God. People have forgotten God. I went to a seminar one time in the Pentecostal movement, and they had a lot of charts and a lot of teaching about we need men, we need methods, we need so many things. They started with the letter M. We need this, we need this, we need this. And I thought, as I was attending that seminar, all of these things might be well and good at their time, but we need something more than men and methods and money. We need God. We need God. They had forgotten God, and God allowed the enemy, the heathen nation, to overrun His own people. Was God harsh or mean? No. He was wanting them to wake up so that they would come back to Him. Seek out the old paths. Search out the old paths. I realize we're living in a new day. I realize the fads of our day are not what they were in Bible times or in earlier years and yesteryear. I realize a lot of things change, but please understand, this Bible is the same today. God's Word is the same today as it's always been. It hasn't been changed for you nor me. And what God required for Peter, James, and John, and what God required for the Apostle Paul, He's going to require of us. And so many have forgotten God because they had forgotten. This is the part that I want to mention. This is so important. He wanted them to remember. They lost their way like so many today. They were living empty lives. No real meaning. What am I living for? Why am I here? Nothing seemed to be working out. All because they had forgotten God, and He wanted His people that had forgotten Him to remember. He wanted them to come back to fellowship and to relationship with Him, that they might again enjoy His blessings and His mercy and His goodness. And I thought, as I was preparing the sermon, of another church, of people like Israel that God had blessed in so many ways. I would imagine there were more miracles for the nation of Israel than we can even begin to comprehend. I'll just use this before I come on to this last part. Can you imagine feeding 2 to 3 million people every day for 40 years? Can you imagine clothing? I've heard some mothers and grandmothers say that they're growing so fast, by the time I get those pants and get them hemmed up, they're not growing them. They're too big, and you've got to take them out and you've got to move some more. They grow fast. But I want you to understand that God took care of the clothing and the shoes and the water and the food and all that they needed. When it was cold, He had a pillar of fire to keep them warm. By man alive, He had a heating system that would outdo anything that blood has ever put out. In the desert, it gets cold at night, and He had a pillar of fire to keep them warm. And in the desert, it gets hot in the daytime, and He had a pillar of cloud to keep them cool. Man, He had a portable air conditioner. Follow them along in the portable heater. What a good God. And yet, with all of that, they forgot Him. And He calls them to remember. While I was preparing the sermon, I thought of another church. I've read the Bible through. I thought of a church in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. Jesus said to John the Revelator, I want you to write 7 letters for me. I want you to write one to Ephesus. And I want you to write one to Smyrna. And one to Pergamos. One to Thyatira. And one to Sardis, and one to Philadelphia, and one to Laodicea. When you come to this letter to the Ephesian church, I want you to commend them for the good things they've done. I want you to know that I've taken notice, and they've been right in there, and they have served me, and they've loved me, and they've done so many good things. But then he says, tell them they've left their first love. And because they've left their first love, there's one thing they've got that they must do. They must remember. They must remember and come back. Remember and come back and repent. And if they don't remember and don't repent, I will remove the candlestick out of their midst. And I want to preach the rest of the sermon on that verse from the second chapter of Revelation to the church at Ephesus, a great church, a big church, a good church, used of God, blessed by God, anointed by God, had one of the greatest preachers ever preached in the world. The pastor there, his name was the Apostle Paul. And now they've left their first love, and he calls them to remember. And as you have that in your mind, remember the peace and the joy and the happiness that filled your hearts when you first got saved. And I want you to put yourself in the same place. How did you feel when you first got saved? How did you feel when your sins were covered by the blood? How did you feel when you came up from the altar and the burden had been lifted and the joy bells were ringing? Hallelujah. How did you feel? I'll tell you, I felt. I want to tell somebody. Although my mother was 3,000 miles away, I want to tell her. She prayed for us. She prayed for us and we got saved. God, he's saying, remember. Remember how it was when your sins were forgiven. Can you remember? Anybody that's been saved any length of time, can you remember how it was when you got saved? Amen, amen. Brother, you just felt, the burden's gone, the burden's gone. I'm free, I'm free. Hallelujah. Remember the truths that are outlined in God's Word. The truths of separation from the world. The truths of living holy, righteous lives. Holy living. Remember. Remember the joy that you once had when you served the Lord in that capacity, in that manner. Remember the times of victory that were once yours. I heard a lady say one time, God healed me of cancer. She had the victory because of what God had done. And she said, because of that, I know I'm going to heaven. Listen, there's nothing in the Bible that says if you've ever been healed by God that you'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven because you're born again and walking in the light and serving God. Remember the times of victory and the joy bells that rang in your heart. And God blessed your heart and life. I'm going to ask my wife to come back to the piano. I don't know why. Even going over this morning, over the thoughts that I had in my mind and some notes that I had, I don't know why God had me to preach this sermon this morning, this way, to this people. I've preached long enough to know that sometimes God gives a message and it's for me. Sometimes God gives a message entirely seemed like for my family. Sometimes God lets me to know in the course of preaching that this is for that person or that person or this person. You just have to obey God. God hasn't told me any of that. But I don't know why God would have me to preach this today, but I do know this. God's people have gone a long ways away from Him. I'm not here to condemn anyone. I want revival. I would rather this church have revival than for me to live. I would rather die today knowing that there'd be a Holy Ghost revival here than to live another 20 years without revival. You say, Brother Jones, do you mean that? Yes. I want a move of God. I know what God has done. I know the God we're serving is almighty. He's powerful, but He says, you've forgotten me. I don't believe He just had me to preach this just because of Israel. Probably someone here today, whoever. He said, come back. Come back. Remember and come back. And while you're playing, Jesus passed by softly. I want you to remember these two words. In that second chapter of Revelation, Jesus said, remember and repent. If you remember and don't do anything about it, you've lost it all. If you repent, remember and repent. Call out to God for forgiveness. You might have one time known the Lord and had the victory and the joy and the peace of God ruled in your heart, but somehow you've gotten away from that. It's no longer there. Repent. Remember and call on God. Listen to these two verses. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:1. And the verse just ahead of that, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, Brother Jones, I've been a Christian 20 years. That's wonderful. But if there's any sin in your life today, the best thing to do is repent. Remember, repent or else. Jesus said, I will remove the candlestick. I will take away the light. You will be left in darkness to stumble along in darkness trying to find your way and be lost. Remember, repent, or I will remove the light. There's nothing more tragic that I can tell you this morning than for God to speak to somebody and say, I'm removing the light today. You will be in darkness from now on. I'm glad that He's still the light of the world. Remember, repent. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to sing, Since Jesus Passed By. Since Jesus Passed By. I believe it's number 30. 31 in the court.